The following program was paid for by Wealth Management Group, LLC. Michael Bonaccorso and Douglas Chapman are registered representatives offering securities through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor. LPL Financial is under separate ownership from any other named entity. 1199 Raritan Road, Clark, New Jersey, 07066. For a comprehensive review of your personal tax or legal situation, always consult with a tax or legal advisor. Neither LPL Financial nor any of its representatives may give legal or tax advice. The views depicted in this material are for informational purposes only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial. They should not be considered specific advice or recommendations for any individual. The views and opinions expressed on your financial future are not necessarily those of the staff and management of this station. Management has not investigated the claims made in the commercials that may air during this program. As always, it is advisable to consult a professional before making a major financial decision.
Welcome to the show.
In 3, 2,
one. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Your Financial Future. My name is Doug Chapman. My partner's Mike Bonaccorso. What's going on there, Michael?
Not much, Doug. How are you? How's things?
Everything's good, bud. You know, no complaints here. We're in the throes of winter. It's pretty cold outside, but, you know, what are you going to do? It's to be expected.
Yeah, but, you know, again, we're now halfway past February, into February, I should say. And, you know, again, March is not far around the corner, which kind of means it's springish, right, I guess?
Yeah. You know, it's and Valentine's Day just passed. And, you know, I was funny story. I took Jack out to get some Valentine's Day cards, you know, for Ava and Michelle. And I said, you know, Jack, when Mr. Bonaccorso was our age, he used to go out and he used to get, like, to the only one I love, he used to get like 7 cards and hand them out to different girls at the school. You ought to try that. He said, did he really do that? And I said, of course he did. Look at the man. And Mike, that is a God's honest truth story.
I'm just so glad I'm the topic of the conversation for your family. You know, I mean, I think that hit an all-time low, but I don't know. Is that a compliment?
It is a compliment. It's 100% a compliment. It says that you were a stud when you were 14 years old. Right, so, you know what happened?
I'm not going to deny they chased me around in my day. I'm just not going to deny that on the air.
Right. but seriously, it was hilarious too. And you actually had called me 2 seconds before, and when we were walking into the store, and that's why I hung up the phone from him. And I said, you know, so anyway, yeah, here we are. We're, like you said, we're halfway through February in 2024, and markets, a little rough patch here this week. We've got some numbers that came out that said inflation was still, you know, peeking its head up out of the hole like a, you know, like a meerkat looking around to see what's going on out there. So it's not tame yet. I mean, they're getting it under control, but the horse, you know, they haven't broken the wild horse yet.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Doug, what that really leads to is, you know, more numbers and where we're headed. We're, you know, and I think that everybody kind of got themselves all excited about there's going to be rate cuts in March, and I think that's kind of going down the drain. And I think there'll be rate cuts, but if I had a guess, if I was the Fed chairman, I'm going to say second half of the year.
Mike, you want to know something? You know how you can tell, in my opinion, that, like, the people who said there were going to be rate cuts in March weren't the pros.
No.
And why I'm going to say that is because the market would have behaved differently in September and October of last year if they thought the rate cuts were coming in March.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, 6 months.
Because it's
typically,
historically speaking, it's not a rule of thumb, or, you know, it's not dead set a rule, but 6 months in advance of when they anticipate, you know, things to change in the market is when the market will move. So the market started to move in November, December, right?
Yeah.
Let's keep an eye on what happens with rates in May and June.
No, yeah. Listen, too, you know, Doug, you know, and I don't know if we should be going into this for the listeners because it's really, you know, boiling it way down. But, you know, these rate cuts and the predictions of the economy, it's no different than, you know, them predicting the Super Bowl. One guy saying Kansas City, the other guy saying the 49ers, and it kind of, you know, everybody's, I guess what I'm leading to, everybody's got an opinion. Everybody, you know, are they right? No, but I just feel that, you know from us students of the game following the financial markets, they were trying to get a lot of chatter going about March. But I agree with you. The numbers and things say it's going to probably be June plus out there.
Yeah, more than likely. I mean, I'm kind of in the September camp. you know, myself. But we'll see what happens. But that's not our job. You know, our job is to, because we don't control that, right? And, you know, none of us sit on the, you know, on the Fed, and, you know, none of us are there. Our job is to make sure that our clients don't miss out on opportunities that may, you know, be there for them. And I think that I, personal belief is that there's tremendous opportunities that are out there for people right now. I don't want them to miss out on it. But while we're doing that, we want to make sure that we're doing the right things to be sure that we're protected. So, you know, to the best that we can. So it's really, it's a balancing act. It's a, you know, it's a line to walk that I think that skilled professionals have, you know, a much, much better odds of, you know, being successful at doing. But I do think that there's, unfortunately, some people who may be, you know, on the sidelines and might be missing out on some opportunity.
Yeah, that's true, Doug. And you know, 2022, again, we always go back in time, it was a down year. And then 2023 was a snapback. And so far, 2024 is on, you know, doing its thing, if you will, too early yet for 2024. But certainly the first month and a half has been okay. And I think people get just into, like, flat-footed, for lack of better words, you know what I'm saying, like just indecisive, not moving, stuck in the mud, call it what you may be, and they, as we like to say, procrastinate their financial affairs.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big concern, because what history tells us, anytime there's been a down year, people kind of freeze and get locked up.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of rear view mirror driving and not looking out the front window going on. And you know, I think we're seeing some of that with people. You know, people are a little, again, a little flat-footed. That's
Let
why,
me throw
that's
this
what
out
I mean
to you.
By that. I,
Don't you,
know.
You think that happens after good years, too?
In the opposite way, though.
Yeah, correct.
Then they think everything's roses going forward, and yeah, no, 100%. So yeah, okay. So let's simplify it. So rear-view mirror financial planning.
Mm-hmm.
Is what people do with their affairs, right?
Sure.
They you know, or as you and I have been saying for years, people get a 401k at work. All of a sudden, they get the printout of what the funds did, and they'll tell you, I'm picking this one and that one because they went up the highest.
That one's paying the best.
Right.
Right.
Now, you know, yeah, they think it pays that. They think that's going to be that way forever. They don't realize, well, maybe if it was up last year, money's going to rotate to other sect. That's like a rear view mirror.
Don't you think that there's really like kind of three categories of people out there when it comes to their money? So there's the people out there that have really happy feet and they're all over the place and they're kind of reckless about it.
Yep.
Okay. Then there's the people who understand that you need to pay attention to this. You should have a professional working with you. Mm. And, you know, there's going to be periods of time when adjustments need to be made. There's going to be periods of time when no change should be made. There's going to be stuff that's going on, but they're paying attention to it. And then there's the people who don't do anything. And to your point, your words, stuck in the mud, procrastinate, what have you. And in my opinion, over the long term, the most successful people in that group are the ones in the middle.
Well, I was just getting ready to say, I think, you know, we're on this show now for over 25 years, and I think we've spent professional careers trying to move people to the middle.
Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, we don't like you when you're procrastinating, but we certainly don't like you when you're reckless and dangerous.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So that's not the answer either, and we're trying to say, come on, get your arms around this thing, get a plan in place, take prudent steps, do all the right things, and get in the middle. You know, it's somewhere in the middle. The doing nothing versus the I'm hypersensitive and every ooh and ah in the market, how it did today, isn't correct either. We're saying put a plan in place that meets your goals, you know, your financial objectives, and that's where you want to be.
Yeah, and so, you know, the stuck in the mud people, the procrastinators, if you will, like, I think my fear for them is they miss out on tremendous opportunity. But here's what I think happens. They sit and they look, and I think they beat themselves up over time and say, if only I had,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And, you know, and there's, I don't like that for those people, you know, because there is the opportunity for you to do something about it. And then there's the other people, the reckless people who, the opposite of the procrastinator, they say, I wish I hadn't, right? I wish I hadn't been so reckless. I wish I hadn't, you know, done this or that. Yeah, you're going to get your occasional story out there of the reckless person who got lucky, hit something, and made themselves a bundle of money.
Yeah.
Okay? But in my opinion and in my experience, that's few and far between. So that doesn't happen to the people who are stuck in the mud. What happens to the people who are stuck in the mud is they don't get to live the retirement that they want to. They don't get to accomplish everything that they want to. And I think that there's opportunity for people to move over and get into the middle.
Sure. Absolutely. So, you know, it's almost like the stuck in the mud have never been down the road before. And they need to kind of start going down the road. And let's get you to stop at the middle.
Yeah.
The reckless kind of, you know, went through that. But you know what hurts the reckless? I just want to add to this. How many times, Doug, in our careers, we've heard people say, I did this. I don't want anything to do with investing anymore.
Yeah.
And we'd say, okay, you know, why? What happened? And they'll say, I put money into this. I lost my money. I did this. And it was all reckless stuff.
Yeah, you weren't investing.
So kind of like, they'll never get to that middle because of what they did. You know, they can now, from going completely reckless, to they won't go back to neutral because they said, no, that's it, I'm done.
Yeah.
You know, and that's as harmful too, right? That's like almost like compounding the mistake.
Sure. And then the people who procrastinate, I think sometimes look at the examples of the reckless people who, you know, got beaten up. And then so they say, oh, I'm not going to be like that guy. Did you see that guy? He lost all his money. And I'm not going to be like that. So they stay over there. But both of them need to realize there's a middle ground someplace. And we are... You know, we're the facilitators to get you to that middle ground and get you with some strategies in place that are hopefully really good for your circumstance, your goals and objectives.
And one thing about the reckless people, they love telling people how bad it was.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and telling you how, like, you know, it's going to happen and don't bother and, you know, this whole thing's a waste and, you know, don't ever do anything with your financial affairs because look what happened to me. At least the procrastinators, they kind of just tuck in and they don't want to be noticed.
Yeah, but you know what
you get what I'm saying?
But then you've got that other reckless person out there, Mike, who hits it, who gets lucky.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then, but what I've seen happen, hold on one second, what I've seen happen, and it's unfortunate, is I've seen a person who has been reckless and hit it drag a procrastinator right through the middle, skip the middle, and go to reckless.
Yeah.
Well, right?
That's water cooler advice. We talked about that for years on the show, right? I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I got my money like this. You should be doing that. And sometimes they over prescribe, if you will, for lack of better words. And they'll sink somebody that's been a procrastinator. So what's the message? We want you in the middle.
Right.
We want you, just like anything else in life, we want you balanced. You know what I'm saying? Anything excessively or anything... not excessively could possibly kill you. We want you to have a nice, healthy, balanced financial life. That's what we are aiming for.
My biggest concern, one of my biggest concerns right now for people is longevity. Like, people are living a really long time now. And, you know, you need to make sure that your money lasts that, you know, for your entire lifetime. That's my concern for people is that, you know, you got to have some strategies. And there's opportunity out there for you. But, you know, you got to have some strategies in place to do that and make sure that, you know, you're okay or give yourself the best chance of being okay in the probability that you live a long life.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's exactly right. That's the, you know, that's the retiree situation now, right? It's again, it's a 25-30 year proposition now that when you're retired, you know, and it's amazing, right, Doug? I mean, when you think about time, right? You're 65 years old and you retire and you're going to live another you're going to be in retirement for 25 years. You're going to make it to 90.
Sure.
Which is we're seeing that every day, very realistic. But when you roll back the clock from 65, 25 years, you were 40 years old.
Yep.
Right? It feels like you were in your youth back then, right?
Mm-hmm.
The kids were how old, you know? And it's just amazing, but people climb that mountain, but to think of a mountain going from 65 to 90, they kind of don't believe it.
Right.
And I think there needs to be an awareness to that.
Sure. And you know, Mike, I had clients in a couple of weeks ago, and I might have spoken about them on the show here, said they he's getting an early retirement package from his employer. And you know, they came in and they said, you know, I think, Doug, we should probably take our investments now and we should probably put everything like in fixed income. And I said, no. Yeah. And they said, well, what do you mean, no? I said, well, how old are you? Well, I'm 57. You know, and how old is the spouse? I'm 59. Yeah. I said, guys, and I pulled out the data and I showed them. I said, you go to fixed income right now. You know, you may be okay for 7 years, 10 years, whatever, but there's going to come a point in time if we don't give this money the opportunity to grow over time, your purchasing power is probably going to be substantially diminished over years and years. And could you imagine at age 75 when you have to start, you know, worrying about, you know, what am I buying at the supermarket?
Well, listen, okay, so let's talk about this. So you're saying the person was 57 and you're talking about age 75. What her price is going to be? 18 years.
Right.
Let's go back 18 years from today.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it was 2006. I asked, what was the price of a gallon of gas?
Yeah.
What was the price of a gallon of milk? What were you paying medical bills and co-pays and prescription?
Mm-hmm.
You get it, right?
I mean, sure.
I mean, you understand where this conversation's going, how, you know, saying, okay, I'm retired. I'm going to get, you know, make believe $1,500 a month to live off forever. That $1,500 18 years from now is not going to hold up as well as it's doing right now.
No.
It's just a natural progression. I hate to say it, but it feels like, and I'm not going to say make a blanket statement, but it feels like nothing ever gets cheaper.
Well, it doesn't.
Well, there may be something out there.
Right.
But I don't want to be the guy that said I made a blanket statement.
Well, the cost of living never gets
you
cheaper.
The orange juice, the milk, it's a lot more than it was 18 years ago.
We
all understand that.
Well, if even for that matter, Mike, in the point of time that we're in right now, they're all a lot more expensive than they were 3 years ago, right? It's a very good example. Right now is a very good example of what can happen. This is not normal inflation. This is hyperinflation that we're in and we're coming out of now. We're still in there a little bit. But the good thing about it is when you live through something like this, you understand it can happen, right? It's possible that it can happen. And you need to be prepared for it if it does happen again to you at some point in your lifetime. Listen, nobody, COVID or a lockdown or something, a pandemic like that was on nobody's radar, right? It was on nobody's radar whatsoever. And then all of a sudden it happened. And you're like, oh boy, that can happen. Yeah, things can happen.
Well, you know, I'm sorry, Doug. You know, it's amazing, right? So when you think about it, from 20 to 23, what took place in our financial world, one was the pandemic, the lockdown, that whole thing, the economy grinding to a halt, and 2023 was hyperinflation.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you ask me going forward, I agree. Anything could happen. And when I mean anything, I can't even tell you what anything is.
Right.
Because I never dreamt of a pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't even think of the way, you know, eggs got up to whatever it was, $7-$8 a carton or whatever that was. You know what I'm saying? So to me, you have to be prepared for anything, even though we don't know what anything is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know it's like a little crazy, right? But it's just, I'm not saying, hey, looking over your shoulder your whole life. That's not the idea of it. But anything is possible. And that's, you know, I think we're all used to, Doug, like, okay, yes, I know the economy's doing really well. Okay, yeah, I know they're laying people off. The economy's slowing. Yeah, that's standard material. You know what I'm saying? But we were hit between 20 and 23 with two financial events. When was the last time you saw either?
Well, that's my right.
That's my question to you.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And that's my point to the listeners out there. Now, also, but what happened during that period of time, too, Mike, there was tremendous opportunity in the markets.
Sure.
The investment arena responded quite favorably after that period of time.
Yeah.
And a lot of people missed out on it, unfortunately. So what I want to do is I just want to say that I think that your best odds are to have a good strategy in place designed by us to help you go in the right direction, to accomplish, give you the best chance or give you a really good chance of accomplishing your goals, not to just, you know, go at it haphazardly and without any sort of rhyme or reason to it. Just doesn't make sense, especially when you have the opportunity to sit down and go over this stuff.
Just makes too much sense to me.
Yeah. You got anything you want to add?
No.
Let's hop to a break. We'll be right back, folks.
Have you been listening to Doug and Mike for some time now and have been contemplating scheduling an appointment with them? Does what they talk about make sense to you and you believe some of it applies to you? Do you think it's time to either start paying attention to your money or get a second opinion on what you're already doing? Well, great news for you. Doug and Mike offer complimentary consultations with no cost or obligation to the listeners of Your Financial Future. That's right, a no cost or obligation consultation with the hosts of Your Financial Future to discuss what's important to you in a private and confidential meeting. It couldn't be any easier. Just pick up the phone right now and call 855-262-3722. Leave your name and phone number, and either Doug or Mike will personally call you to set a time to get together. The number again is 855-262-3722. That's 855-262-3722. Doug and Mike will explain things in an easy-to-understand fashion and work with you to help you accomplish your goals. Whether you want to plan for income at retirement, learn investing strategies, save for college, plan for a special needs child, or anything else related to your money, they are ready to help. Your Financial Future has been on the air for 25 years. These guys have experience and wisdom to help. Take advantage of this generous offer to get together and have a complimentary consultation with no obligation. You have to take the first step and simply make the call. So call now to 855-262-3722. That's 855-262-3722. Don't put it off any longer. Call 855-262-3722.
All right, folks, welcome back, and glad that you're investing some of your time here with us today. Mike and I come out here this week and every week to talk to you about financial stuff. Obviously, we talk to you about financial stuff because we try to talk to you about a little bit of everything that has to do with your money to see if we can help guide you in the right direction. Now, we say we talk to you about your money because we like to, you know, talk about so many different topics to try to get you going and thinking in the right direction. I want to remind you out there that if there's a topic that you'd like for us to talk about, we'd love to know that. All you need to do is to drop us an email. You can drop it directly to me, Doug@wealthmanagegroup.com. Again, that's Doug@wealthmanagegroup.com. And, you know, we'll take a look at it and see if it's something that we can talk about on the air here.
Sure.
What do you want to talk about today?
Oh, I don't care. You don't have anything teed up?
I don't have anything teed up, but let's talk. Okay. So, all right, here's something I want to talk about. There's plenty of time left for people to fund their IRAs.
Okay.
For last year.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, you know, I want to remind people of that. And the other thing that I want to take a minute to do is to remind people of the opportunity to begin retirement savings for younger people.
Yeah.
All right. For high school kids who are out there, you know, have a part-time job, making some money, they can open up retirement accounts and sock some money into those. And everybody knows, everybody's heard the old adage, the earlier you start, the better off you probably are.
Sure.
Right? So get them a head start on doing it out there and lead them down the right path towards saying, hey, you want to know something? Because there's great calculators out there, and we can do it for you as well. And just show you, you know, if you start saving, you know, money at a young age, 15, 16, 17 years old, and, you know, you let it compound it, you make an assumed interest rate, that's going to add up to a lot of money when you get down to, you know, retirement time.
Absolutely, Doug. And, you know, so, again, folks, you have until, you know, tax day to go ahead and fund your IRAs or whatever your retirement for last year for 2023, you know. A, if you always do it or you do it, you know, don't forget. But B, if you don't, when you get your taxes done, ask your accountant what, you know, can I? Am I eligible for anything? Because a lot of people just assume they're not eligible or they can't.
Well, everybody's eligible.
Yeah.
You could make a non-deductible contribution.
Well, but there's people think I can't.
Right.
You know, so, you know, for whatever reason, why we all think the way we think, that's, you know, but... So, yeah, look into it. And again, it's something to just, it's a thought. Does it help me in any way? What does it mean for me? How does this play out for me on my scale? You know, and try that.
You know, I think, Mike, that some emphasis needs to start to be put, sorry about that, on educating younger people and getting younger people to start saving and investing their money. I mean, it really does. And listen, I know why it doesn't happen, right? It's not extremely lucrative for the financial institutions to go out there. Young kids don't have a lot of money.
They don't market to it.
No, they don't. But it's really a good thing to do, and it's something that we try to talk to our clients about on a regular basis and say, hey, listen, let's get something going for the grandchild. Let's get something going for the child here. You know, let's get it going on the way, because, man, compound interest is your friend. You get compound interest working for you over a long period of time. And not only that, you get them in the habit. You teach them. Say, listen, this is how we're doing it right now. We're putting away X amount of dollars every single month. And I don't care what that amount is, right? It could be $25 a month just as a lesson, as, you know, a teaching tool to show them this is the value that you could create for yourself over your lifetime if you start doing this.
Yeah, and you know what, Doug? That's you know, like you're talking about, you know, investing going forward. As you're sitting here talking, I'm thinking back to when parents or grandparents set up 529 plans for the newborns.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think there's ever a time, Doug, when a client calls and says, hey, by the way, you know, we need money out of the 529 plan, or we need X amount of dollars this semester. I always just think to myself, like, wow, that is just fantastic to get a college bill in the mail and the money sitting there in an investment account that's, you know, done well over time, and
right.
Just say, okay, pay that bill.
And
I
what
mean,
would you
I
have
mean,
done
great,
if you had not
I mean,
done
how,
that?
How great is that? You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, let's fantasize for a second. It's like saying, oh, every time your electric bill or gas bill comes to the house, there's a special account that was set up to, you know, and just say, okay, take it out of here. Don't take it out of my checkbook.
Yeah.
You know?
No, and you know, Mike, it's when it comes to saving for, you know, college education, we've seen and we've had a lot of grandparents start up accounts for grandchildren, different types of accounts, whether they're custodial accounts or whether they're 529, whatever it is. But just the idea of starting to help, you know, to accumulate some money that they may use for their education or some other purpose when they get older in life. And I want to emphasize to people that don't think for one second that if you can't do a lot, a little's not helpful. Because how many times, Mike, have we had grandparents that have set up accounts for their grandchildren and they contributed a little bit of money each year for it, and then all of a sudden an event comes up, whether it be college, a wedding, or what have you, and grandma or grandpa has accumulated $6,000, $8,000, $10,000 in this account for that child and given it to them, and the child hasn't been over the moon about it?
Yeah, I was just getting ready to say it. I think anytime you're putting money away like that, whether it be for education, whether it be for retirement, whether it be for just, you know, start a savings program, I don't think I've ever seen anybody really disappointed. You know, you get what I'm saying? It's a good positive step. It builds great habits,
mm-hmm.
especially for the, you know, the new adult, if you will, that's investing in their retirement or in their future or whatever. I mean, it's a great habit. It's a great lesson of life. And, you know, so, yeah, I mean.
You know, the problem is, Mike, nowadays that, and just staying on college education for a second, tuition numbers are daunting, right? They're really out of control. They're unjustified, if you ask me, but they are what they are. It doesn't make a difference. Right. Doug could think that they're the most unjustified things in the world. It doesn't really matter. Yeah. They don't care what I think.
Right.
All right? They are what they are. But the problem is that people sometimes get in the mindset and they say, I can never save enough money to be able to do that. So they do nothing.
Yeah.
And that's a big, big mistake, folks. Don't choose to do nothing because it seems like an unsurmountable task. I'm here to tell you that every little bit helps and every little bit counts. So get going on something. Get your kids in the habit of doing it. Do something for your grandchildren. We're an avenue for you to do that and get things up and rolling there. But it really, really is that important. It's the same for whether you're saving money for, you know, a college education, for a wedding, for retirement, for a new home, whatever that is. Every little bit counts. Don't ever get discouraged and say, I'm never going to get there, so I'm going to do nothing. It's not an all or nothing proposition.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, Doug, I can't tell you how many times I've sat down with people and I said, let's put money, you know, save some money into this, you know, program or whatever. And I'll say it's multifaceted in that, like, okay, well, we can use it for this. We can use it for that. We can use it for this, you know, putting money away and having a savings program is a good day any day of the week, in my opinion. You know what I'm saying? If you could put money away on a monthly basis consistently, let's be real about it. How do you think your 401k balances got to the balances they are? You put money away consistently. You know, there's something to be said for that, and there's something to be said about college planning, young people, retirement planning. You know, it checks all the boxes. I think if you're doing that, you're having a good day. You're doing something. You're taking a good step forward.
Yeah, and it's, you know, we've spoken about it. It's habits. It's habits. It's habits. It's habits. And it's also being a good example to that next generation, to that two generations down from you. We've spoken about this when we've talked about inheritance planning and estate planning. That could be perhaps the very last lesson that you teach your children. And don't forget, your children are always your children. I don't care if you're 90 years old and your son or daughter is 70, right? They're still your children. And as far as inheritance planning goes, when you pass away, you're going to give them a lesson on how to handle that circumstance. Either it's going to be easy or it's going to be difficult. It's all going to be dependent upon what you did during your lifetime to set up for the orderly distribution of your assets when you're not here anymore. Because your assets do have to be distributed, right? There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. So you can choose to have it set up orderly or have it, you know, be hodgepodge. It's your choice, but I think orderly is better than hodgepodge.
Yeah, and you know what, Doug? I can also say to you that there's folks right now listening to the show, and they're nodding their head, they're agreeing, and they're saying they had these habits, what we're talking about, and they passed them on to their children, and their children are now grown adults.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying, yeah, you know, chip off the old block, if you will. You know, like they did what we did. They listened to what we told them to do. You know, they you know, you could tell, yeah, lesson, we translated that lesson to our children. So to me, Doug, it's super important, right? I mean, the lessons that you send down to your children in any facet, I mean, whether, you know, education's important or whatever you value,
right?
Okay, and we certainly think we're all in the same boat when it comes to money, right? We should all be valuing it and the uses of it and not to be, you know, neglectful or wasteful with our money. So you want to be the best example you possibly can be.
Yeah, and so there's, you know, there's ways to do it. And Mike and I have been in this business for a really long time, right? Since the early 1990s. That's a long time, folks. So we have seen family structures of, you know, children who are very responsible with money and they're very good with money. So inheriting it is not, you know, it's not a burden to them. And I'm going to hate to say this to you, but a lot of you don't realize that an inheritance is a burden to a lot of children because they're not knowledgeable or experienced or confident in handling the receipt of funds in those amounts suddenly. And so you have to understand your family structure and you have to make sure that you set up your inheritance planning in accordance with how they can handle it. And I'm going to say that a lot of time, I'm going to say more times than not, I don't have it statistically written down, is that the people who have orderly distributions that are working with us, their children tend to be happy that, you know, they have somebody to turn to and go to and tell them, okay, this is how everything's going to be handled.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and that's important, Doug, when it comes to the inheritance planning, you know, having it set up, understanding what's going to happen. I just never understand, like, how somebody can work a lifetime and work very hard and do what they did, accumulate what they accumulated, and then have a disconnect when it comes to inheritance.
Right.
I don't care, you know, that type of talk. And I know there are people out there that see the way we see it, but I'm telling you, there's a lot of people out there that don't.
Oh, yeah, I know.
You know, how many times, you know, it's, I don't care about that. I don't know. I just look at the ups and downs of working and everything attached to it, and to do that, then why bother?
So
I just can't. That's one hurdle. That's one bridge I have never been able to cross to understand somebody's point of view. I just don't.
Yeah, no, me neither. And you know, and I've had people in recently where they said to us, "Our focus is not to leave money to the kids." I go, "Okay, that's fine. I get it. That's not your focus.
Right.
All right. I get it." But will you agree with me at least that there's going to be something left when you leave this earth? Like, would you please agree with me on that? Because, listen, the old joke is the best retirement plan is when a check to the Undertaker bounces, right?
Yeah.
It's impossible to do.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No. Great example. Great point there, because you're right. And I think that's where people get, they neglect the inheritance planning, is that they feel like, well, we want to enjoy ourselves. We want to have the best retirement possible. We want to travel. We want to do that. We're not worrying about how much it's being left to the children.
Right.
Bravo. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
You should. You worked hard. Enjoy yourself. I've told every person that's retired with me that talked about traveling, go now. You have your health. Go. You know, go enjoy it. You should. But that doesn't mean that. But you're right, though, Doug, what you just said. There are going to be monies or funds or an estate left
right
at the end of the day, because nobody can time it out to zero
mm-hmm.
the day you're going to die. That's like one of the great mysteries of life. You don't know what's going to happen to any of us on any day.
Right.
So with that being said, you need to address it.
You should.
So you got to be on both sides of the street. You got to enjoy your life, enjoy your retirement, and focus on each other, certainly. But to the same token, you also have to be prepared for when the day's not there anymore. You just can't say, oh, well, we're on one side of the street. We want nothing to do with that.
Yeah,
it just doesn't work that way.
It doesn't work that way. It's not reality. At the end of the day, and you know, we have to have these conversations with people. And I said, listen, let me tell you why it's not going to happen. You're not going to let it happen. And they're like, well, don't tell me I'm not going to let it happen. I don't care. I go, well, let me tell you why you're not going to let it happen. Because you're not going to let yourself run out of money while you're alive. And that stopped them right in their tracks. They're like, I go, are you going to tell me that you're willing to spend this entire pot to zero? Your pot's at zero. And they're like, no, that's a good point, Doug. And I'm like, yeah. So let's understand, we're here to take care of mom and dad first. No doubt about it. You guys are going to live the life, the retirement that you want. But at the end of the day, I'm highly confident there's going to be something left for the people behind. And can we please set this up so it's an orderly distribution of the assets?
Yeah. And you got to remember something, folks. The pot that Doug's referring to, all your assets that you have, you retained it, whatever you want to call it, from being prudent.
Right.
And not being reckless and careless and not caring about money and just wasting money. So if you think something's going to change in your retirement, that you're going to say, okay, I have $1 million, make believe. Okay, I'm going to keep winding this down. All right, down to 50, down to 40. It just doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be so panic stricken if you see your pot of money going down. It doesn't work that way.
Right.
So address it.
Yeah. Let us help you put some ideas together. Ultimately, at the end of the day, it's going to be your decision. But can we just give you some ideas and show you some things to do? I know we have ideas for you. But you got to pick the phone up and give a call, folks. And, you know, just opportunity. Don't want you to miss out on it. You know, we're here for you. The number is 855-262-3722. That number, again, is 855-262-3722. 3722. We're always here to help, you know, our radio show listeners. So, you know, pick the phone up and give us a buzz, and let's have a meeting and sit down and talk. We've got offices in Clark, in Toms River, Paramus, in Florham Park. So, you know, if you can hear us, we've got a meeting facility in close, you know, proximity to you. We're old school. We'll do a house call if you want. We're modern day. We'll do Zoom. Whatever's easiest for you, we'll do. But you need to take the step and pick the phone up and give us a call. And the number's 855-262-3722. We'll be right back, folks.
You're listening to Your Financial Future with Doug Chapman and Mike Bonaccorso.
What we try to do is educate people about money, motivate them to do planning, and make it as easy as possible to implement.
As creative thought leaders in the financial industry, Doug and Mike design strategies for people to help them live comfortable financial lives.
For the most part, every client is different. But one common similarity is that people want simple ways to accomplish their goals and someone to show them how to do it. That's exactly what we do.
In addition to hosting this radio show, Doug and Mike personally help people with their money and create simple strategies for them to help reduce taxes, maximize Social Security, make smart money decisions, and have income for retirement. They can always be reached at 855-262-3722. That's 855-262-3722. Always feel free to give them a call at 855-262-3722. You deserve to have the help.
All right, folks, welcome back, and hope you're enjoying the show here. And, Mike, we're up to this segment of the show here where it's what have you been up to lately. I feel like we've kind of been talking about that, you know, all show here. But, you know, we've been up to a lot lately because, as we spoke about last year, we've got a lot of exciting stuff going in the office. We've got, I think, some new tremendous opportunities for our clients and the listeners out there because we've changed our broker-dealer. And, you know, while that is a big task and a lot of work for us internally here, I think that the opportunity that's creating for us to bring opportunities and ideas to our listeners and to our clients is just, in my opinion, off the hook and tremendous.
Yeah, absolutely, Doug. You know, and, you know, it's the old expression, like, you know, something that's worth doing is going to take some hard work, right, to get there. It's, you know, nothing's easy in life, and you and I are tackling things here at the office, if you will. And I think we're excited also for our clients. And that's at the root of it all, why we do what we do.
Right.
Is to try to, you know, how do we can provide a better environment? How do we get better for our clients constantly? That's our mission. And, you know, 2024 is kicked off. That's what we're doing. That's what we've been up to. I got to tell you, though, I mean, we'll go to the segment now of what have you been up to lately besides – a lot of stuff going on here at the office, hearing from a lot of clients and feeling good because people saying, hey, let's talk. You know what I'm saying? Let's go through things. I want to do this. I'm getting a lot of, I want to add money to my accounts. I want to talk to you about possibilities. What do you think of, see, I like our clients are trained really well. They just don't say, here, I'm giving you money for this. They'll say, I have more money. What do you think we should do with it?
Right.
Which means to me is code for let's sit. Let's have a conversation. What's going on in your life? How does it benefit you? What's the next thing we're going to do to try to strengthen your financial situation? That's how we work here at Wealth Management. You see, Doug, it's not just, you know, you always said that for years on the show. You want to test an advisor? Say, oh, I'm going to give you $100,000, you know, make believe. And what? How do you always say, like?
No, what I want to buy.
I want to buy this.
I want to buy this. Here's, you know, I want to invest, you know, $10,000 and pick something random.
Yeah.
And see if they challenge you.
Yeah.
If they don't challenge you, I think you ought to do some soul searching on that one right there.
Yeah.
Right? They should say to you, well, why? I mean, does that fit into our overall objective? Does that fit into the overall goal? What's the positive that could happen? What's the negative could happen? And, oh, yeah, by the way, tell me why you selected that investment.
And, you know, like so many times, too, we try to do it like pieces of a puzzle, build on a financial puzzle for you. And sometimes, you know, our clients will see we put this piece in and that piece. And the people will think, oh, we got to put another piece on top of it. No, we're good. Now you need to build some strength over here, right? You want to be as balanced and as strong, you know, have as much financial strength as possible. And to me, in all facets, right? And I'll go into something, I'm going a little bit off on a tangent, but many times people come in to see us and they'll hand us their statements of what's going on in the world. And they'll be so strong when it comes to retirement. I mean, strong,
yeah.
A lot of assets. I mean, fantastic. And it's almost, they have their retirement locked up of what they're going to need to generate income off it. But then all of a sudden we'll look and they'll have hardly any other monies. And I'll say to them, listen, guys, good news, bad news. You're phenomenal in the retirement piece of the puzzle. You're weak over here. We're going to focus on building that up for you. That's the piece of the puzzle. You know, congratulations. You accomplished the retirement end. You stuffed away. You did the 401ks. You did the IRAs. Job well done. Yeah, we're going to have to get that translated into income at retirement for you. I get that. But for right now, before we retire, we have another part of the puzzle we need to fill in.
Well, you know, Mike, to your point, I just recently had it because we're talking to a lot of people, right? So I had a conversation with an existing client similar to what you just said there. And here's what they, you know, they said, and it's 100% true, and it probably applies to a lot of people that are listening to the show right now, is that they said the kids are done with college now. I have extra money.
Yeah.
So a lot of people did the right thing during a period of time when maybe money was strapped because they were financing college or doing whatever they were for, you know, for their children, but they continued to plug money into their retirement account at work. Kudos. Great job. Way to stick with it. You didn't quit doing that. But it didn't give you the opportunity to accumulate excess funds that are not affiliated with a retirement account. So we're going to work on that now and get you to where you need to be, or to the best circumstance we can, because it's an extremely, extremely common circumstance for the person 50, 55 years old in that ballpark, right, where their children are done with college right now. They didn't have the opportunity. Now they've got extra dollars, extra discretionary income, and moving along. And I'll tell you one of the other things that I've seen a little bit recently that I hadn't seen in a long time, but starting to see it again now, which I like, is some people now in their mid to late 50s are telling me the house is paid off. Okay?
Yeah.
The house is paid off. Yeah. That mortgage money now we have as extra money every month, we can start to save it.
Sure.
And let's, you know, let's do something with that. And I say we haven't seen that a lot because a lot of people have, you know, made some crazy decisions with taking money, stripping money out of their house or, you know, whatever over the years. And people don't necessarily nest in one place now and pay off that mortgage before retirement. But it's nice to see. So when you're coming into that point where you start to have discretionary income now, well, let's do the right things with it.
Yeah, no, agreed, Doug. And that's a great point. That's an area we never really talk about that much, is that, well said, in that people will keep their contributing to their retirement plans while their children are going to college, and they live off whatever the net check is. And that's, they got to make it happen. And part of making it happen, they sacrificed or paying a college education, you know, they do things, but they never tampered with the contribution to their 401k. They kept that going. Right. And at the end of the day, oh, by the way, I want to go back two steps. For I've had people come in and kind of like apologize that they don't have more, or that they don't have because they were paying their children's education. I think it's a beautiful thing.
Oh, me too.
I think that's priceless, you know, from where I see, from my view. But they'll apologize, whatever. But it's just, all it really means is, when we look at it, is okay, let's build you financial strength. We need to develop this one area. It's like saying my right hand's stronger than my left hand. Let's build up the left hand now. That's all we're trying to do.
Yeah.
And I do that, Doug. You know, when you think about it, more often than not, when you sit down and talk with people about their retirement planning, they are deficient in one area or the other. Either they have so much of non-retirement money and not enough retirement money, or they have so much of retirement money and not enough. Very few people have it balanced perfectly. It seems like they either erred one way or the other. They didn't contribute enough to the retirement, or they contributed too much, if there's such a thing.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yes, and you know, one of the things, though, that I've, one of the strategies that I've worked on a little bit with some people, and I think it's beneficial, is that there's some people that still don't have extra discretionary money, you know, at the end of the paycheck, right? They're just, but they're still putting their money in their retirement plan. So one of the things that you should consider looking at, and let us, you know, talk to you about this and see, is changing some of your contributions from a traditional contribution to a Roth contribution, because that can start to have a similar impact of what we're trying to do on collecting dollars that are not burdened with tax liabilities into retirement time, and more easily accessible. Maybe an easily accessible isn't the right thing to say, because your money's easily accessible at retirement, but it allows us to be more tax sensitive in your retirement time. So I think that that's a strategy that some people out there ought to let us take a look at for them and see if that change makes sense.
Absolutely. And that's a great idea. That's a super idea, Doug, what you just threw out there for the people listening. So there's a way of kind of best of both worlds, if you will, from where I'm sitting. But that's a great strategy.
Yeah. You know, it really helps you, you know, and it because in the past we've had some people before the Roth days, we would have some people in that circumstance where they had a lot of money in a retirement account, plenty of money in a retirement account, but none in a non-retirement account. We would start to say, all right, well, maybe we should stop contributing to that account and start accumulating some money over here.
Yeah.
And when you do that, for a lot of people, they would give up a match on their money. So they give up some free money. But if you do it this Roth way that I'm talking about, you don't give up any match.
Yeah.
You still get the match. So it really is a powerful, powerful potential strategy for people to let us look at for them and say, hey, this may make all the sense in the world for you. It might be a tremendous opportunity for you to collect some, you know, some dollars for additional dollars that won't have a tax liability at retirement.
Solid strategy. You know, Doug, I love the word balance. You know, I think balance is a very positive word in all of its phases of life. And you know, your financial life is so important to have that balance, like Doug's saying, either the non-retirement money, the retirement money, the liquid money versus debt, right? You know, we try to get people to say, okay, listen, you have X in mortgage left. You can pay it down. Why are you sitting on, especially back when interest rates were so paltry, you know, like pay down the mortgage, you know,
right.
Just, and really what we're trying to do is saying, hey, you have all this liquid money that you really don't need, but you're carrying debt. How many times we see mistakes? People come in and we're taking their assets and are saying, I have X in the bank. I have X in investments. I have this. And then I just assume credit card debt, nothing. And
right.
They'll say, about 15, 16, 17,000.
Right.
And I do what? Why are you doing that? You know, so again, to me, the word balance in its many phases applies to your financial situation. And that's what we're always aiming to do. And there's, like you say, Doug, there's opportunities out there for things to be done to get to that balance.
Yeah.
And that's what people have to realize. It's not a negative thing if you're out of balance. It just means you need to take advantage of things or do certain things to get it to a point of that you're really feeling financially balanced.
You know, Mike, over the course of the years of my lifetime is that, you know, I listen to a lot of audio stuff related to, you know, people, successful people. And I've always been a student of that. And you know, like I listen to podcasts now, or I would read books about, and probably one of the most common themes of successful people, and by the way, a successful person is a person that is accomplishing their goals and objectives in their life. It's not the richest person in the world, right? And that's something that's always emphasized, right? You're a success if you're a happy person and you're accomplishing what you want to accomplish. Yeah. Don't think because somebody may appear to have more money than you that they're more successful. That's not it, right? You're living a happy life. You're successful. But in any event, so one of the ways, the common denominators that they say is that, in my opinion, they get to this point by listening to other people's ideas and implementing them where appropriate. And that is, you know, something that's very, very important. And that's what I want to say to people out there is that you can't be so pigheaded to think that you know everything. You need to listen to people's ideas because somebody might have a good idea for you to help you improve your situation. And that's where we come into play. Like, we have ideas that we would want to present to you and say, hey, you know, if you do this, it may help you here, and this is why. Or if you do that, that may harm you over there, and this is why.
Yeah, Doug, and, you know, and to me, right, how many clients that have come to us are already immensely successful,
right?
And you know, it's almost like they have this beautiful whatever, and it just needs to be polished a little bit. And they're smart enough to know, I want to talk. I want to hear what he's got to say. I want to sit down with these guys. How do they improve my situation? Obviously, improve their situation. Okay, let's do it. You know, and you and I have said 1,000 times, when it comes to new clients, people think, oh, the guy that has all this money must be a real headache. No, we're here to tell you they're the best guy.
Mm-hmm.
They're the best one because they're open and they've made their success by listening to people and taking their ideas and implementing and doing things. They're smart enough. That's part of their success. Nobody's out there really just kind of driving down the road alone, right? It's nice to have help along the way and sounding boards. And I mean, you know, you and I here as partners, we practice that way, right? You know, on cases, well, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? We'll talk about it. We do it with our personal lives. Hey, you know, about this, or did you see this, or did you know about this? Did you know? You know, it's nice to have somebody to talk to swap ideas with. That's the whole idea of it.
Sure. And you know, when you have somebody who has, when their idea can be supported with knowledge, wisdom, and experience, it's not a haphazard idea, it's not water cooler advice, it's really rooted in some good sound reasoning and some good sound history and some good sound examples, then I think that that's where you take the ball and potentially run with it if it improves your situation.
Yeah.
But you can't know that unless you sit down and you have conversations and you say, okay, let's do that. And that's how, listen, for a lot of people, that's how you take advantage of opportunities.
You know, Doug, I hate to say this because it's going to sound terrible, but, you know, when new clients come through the door, there's definitely the person that's unsuccessful versus the successful person that comes in with their situation. The unsuccessful is so much harder sometimes to get through and communicate with. There's
right.
times I've had people through my career that you need to do this. And it's not even like, you know, they need to do it really desperate for their own situation.
Right.
Like that's the emphasis. Not like, and like, you just can't get through, or they're just, they put the block up. And I just sometimes, you know, shook my head and said,
okay,
wow, that's why you're in the situation. That's why that's the way it is for you,
mm-hmm.
because you refuse to listen.
Right.
It's as simple as that. So much of the financial world is between the two ears, if you will. Okay, whether it be handling the psychology of the market, handling the psychology of the world, taking strategies, what have you.
Yeah, and you know, Mike, that's at the end of the day what it is. You can be cynical, and if you're cynical, we're not going to do you any good. But if you're open-minded and you want to hear some good ideas, we're probably the right guys for you.
Absolutely.
Anything you want to add this week?
No, I'm good.
Hey, that's going to wrap it up, folks. Hope you enjoyed the show. We'll be back again next week to talk to you about some more financial stuff. And a reminder, if you want us to talk about anything specific, we're here. Just reach out to us, 855-262-3722. Until next week, be fiscally smart. Bye-bye, everybody.
At Wealth Management Group, we will guide you through a one-hour informative experience where you will walk out with a better understanding of your current financial situation, a strategy or plan that you may not have had before, and a feeling of confidence that you have taken a step toward your goals and freedom from wondering, all by investing just an hour of your time. Many people who have gone through our process have realized a sense of ease and clarity like they may not have had before. At Wealth Management Group, we have a process that provides individual financial programs customized for each client, because you are not all the same and should have your own strategy, not a strategy that is the same as 1,000 other people. We have offices in Clark, Parsippany, Martinsville, and Toms River to suit your needs. We observe and respect all protocols in order to keep everyone safe and healthy. Or if you wish, we can have our meeting on the phone or video. So we invite you to invest an hour of your time to go through our informational experience with no cost or obligation to the listeners of this show, and come out after with something you didn't have before. The first step is simple. Just give us a call now at 855-262-3722 to get a date on our schedule. That number again is 855-262-3722 to take the initial step toward a sound financial future. Once again, that's 855-262-3722. We look forward to your call.
The preceding program was paid for by Wealth Management Group, LLC. The views and opinions expressed on your financial future are not necessarily those of the staff and management of this station. Management has not investigated the claims made in financial services commercials that may air during this program. As always, it is advisable to consult a professional before making a major financial decision. Michael Bonaccorso and Douglas Chapman are registered representatives offering securities through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor. LPL Financial is under separate ownership from any other named entity. 1199 Raritan Road, Clark, New Jersey, 07066. For a comprehensive review of your personal tax or legal situation, always consult with a tax or legal advisor. Neither LPL Financial nor any of its representatives may give legal or tax advice. Join us again next week at the same time for your financial future.